traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Look, the problem when people saying, why is she doing this? Why is she doing that? At first, they were like, she's doing this because she wants to be vice president. I think we've pretty much settled that. Then they're saying, well, what's her motivation?
Have we settled it?
There is no political motivation. If there was political motivation, I would have gotten out of this a long time ago.
By the way, have we settled it? Have we settled the vice president thing?
Of course we've settled it. I mean, there is in no way. I've said it for months. It's done. But also looking at a political future. I wouldn't be doing this if I was worried about a political future. I would have gotten out already.
All right, well, let me ask you about a
political
future.
I am doing this trying to wake up our country.
Let me ask you about a political future. Dean Phillips said in a radio interview he's open to being Nikki Haley's running mate on a unity ticket. Quote, wouldn't all your listeners be more compelled by maybe Nikki Haley and Dean Phillips getting together on a unity ticket and actually doing for the first time, perhaps in our country's history, what most Americans really want, which is cooperation, collaboration, participation, decency, common sense, and leadership. Dean Phillips, who's obviously running on the Democratic primary, not too much success, but saying that he would be your running mate if you so chose that. Would you?
I'm a Republican. I'm running as a Republican. I'm running trying to wake people up that if they nominate Donald Trump in this primary, we will lose a general election. Mark my words.
Just to be clear, you've closed the door on vice president if the former president is nominee. But are you closing the door on a unity ticket and you leading that ticket, as Dean Phillips suggests?
I have said all along that I'm running as a Republican in the Republican primary. I've said all along I was not running to be anybody's vice president. Everything I've said has been the truth. Everything.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Wayne Dupree Show. I'm your host, Wayne Dupree. It is Monday, February 26th, 2024. Let me introduce you to the godfather of conservative radio, Mr. Hutch Wheeler Jr.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on, Wayne and Jason? Ready to start this week out.
And also bringing up the youngster from Muslim Minnesota, Mr. Jason Robinson. What's up, Jason?
Hey, hey, hey. Happy Monday, everybody. What an exciting weekend. Boy, that primary was a nail biter.
Breaking news. President Trump is appealing the monetary decision from New York, which brings me to this. And I, you know how you growing up and you see winners and losers, and some people just don't know how to win, or some people don't know how to take a victory. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. When you're a kid, some people just win badly. Okay. All right. Okay. So, but then you have some people who cheat, and then they go around talking about how they win and all that stuff. But Letitia James, after President Trump and his sons have said that they are going to appeal, Letitia James then came out and put out a tweet this morning that woman, don't count all your, don't put all your eggs in one basket, because you never know what's gonna happen. When I was in Las Vegas, I was in the military. I was in Las Vegas. I played the parlay cards. And, you know, you get 10 out of 10, 15 out of 15, and you win $1 million or whatnot. One Saturday, and I'm going to make this short. One Saturday, I played 15 for 15, college football. It was $1 million. 14 for 14 had covered the spread. I only had one game left. Michigan versus Northwestern. Michigan was favored by 57 points. All I knew back then is Bo Schembechler and the Michigan Wolverines were beating everybody 70 to nothing, 80 to nothing and stuff. No, nobody knew Northwestern. Nobody knew them. So here I am sitting in my dorm room, getting a ride down to the casino. I'm writing, let's say goodbye, my mom a house. I'm gonna get a car.
Rolls Royce.
Next thing you know, halftime is there. Michigan's only winning 14-7. I was like, wait a minute, what's going on? I'm like, wait a minute, this must be blowing them out. Why in the world did I take 57 points? Oh my God. That's why I said never count all your chickens, or you never put all your eggs in one basket. This woman is spiking the football on something that everybody knows that he was going to appeal. How can you go out there and you are just, boasting and everything? You got it on blast and everything. Okay. All right. You do that. There's a whole lot of people to get eggs and pie in their face when it don't work out. That's all I'm saying. Boys, go.
Yeah, I mean, it's something. The thing about it is, I don't know who she thinks she's appealing to with that. Is she going for the Joy Reid vote or what?
Oh,
you know, the people are looking at this like, this is a travesty of justice. This could be me. If this was me, one payment would ruin me.
Yeah, I was going to say, on the right, people think this is ridiculous. On the left, people think this was justified. But you got all these people in the middle that even if they thought this was legitimate, every time she drops a tweet like that, and I think that thing, I think the first one got like, I don't know, 25 million views, there's going to be several thousand people that go, okay, this is, it's going to change their mind. This is clearly a political persecution. So I hope she keeps doing it, because
I don't even think that you could say the left, because there's a lot of people on the left that this is pissing off.
Well, that's what I mean.
Low income people, man. I think the left is being illustrated, you know, redefined, if you will, voting block anyway.
I'm glad you said that, because, well, yeah. Shoot, man, Hutch Bailey Jr., you something else. I've seen the landscape of politics has changed so much from 2007 to where we are right now.
Yeah.
And the identity politics. Now, we have talked about many a day. We have talked about how things have moved along and what things haven't moved along, and how sensitive the conservative movement has gotten on various issues. But there's a strand of identity politics, and I don't know whether it was picked up by trying to imitate what the left is doing and we start doing it, or to a point. But when I hear stuff about black community, myself, and I don't know why I don't see it more, but me myself, I'm like, yeah, but what happened to the poor white people? there are more poor white people out there than rich. There are people living from paycheck to paycheck. What about them? Nobody talks about them. Because do they vote? You know what I'm saying, Hutch? Do they vote?
Yes, they vote. Some of them. I mean, more after Trump than before Trump vote. I know that. I know a 70-year-old woman that voted in a Republican primary of 2016 for the first time in her life. I mean, that's what Trump has done. And the thing to your point, though, about the black community, and let me just say something to everybody. There's big mouths on both sides, right? There's a Charlie Kirk wing. There's a Daryl Scott wing. And there's people that are powerful on both sides that are they're falling victim. And this is just my analysis. I have no facts other than some reports that I've seen, and a book that just came out, Blood Money, it's called. The Chinese Communist Party and the intelligence community, which is owned by the left politically, are some geniuses when it comes to manipulating people. They know what to say to me to piss me off. They know what to say to Wayne to piss Wayne off. And they know what to say to J-Rob to piss J-Rob off. We have to take anything, and this is just me, take anything that comes out in any form of media that mentions race and breathe a couple times first before you react to it. Because these people are injecting stuff that's pushing my buttons, it's pushing other people's buttons, and we're in a position right now, they've set up the battlefield. They've softened up the battlefield by DEI, by commercials, by KKK, by this, that, and the other thing. Do we hate each other? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Well, and I think you're going to see a boomerang effect because I think all Americans can agree that poor people, especially in the African-American community, were unfairly treated by law enforcement for a long time. Like, that was a common fact. They felt targeted. I mean, how many people did Kamala Harris throw in jail and keep in jail to make license plates? And everybody knew that, and everybody accepted that. And people that aren't as plugged in to this stuff as we are seeing this, and they're like, that's the same stuff they did to me or my neighbor or my cousin or the guy on the other side of the trailer park. And
I was going to say that. They do it to poor white people, too. The jails jails are full of them.
Yes,
yeah, this isn't just a black thing. I'm just saying people in the black communities. I grew up in a trailer park. People in the trailer park got prosecuted for crimes that other people in the upstanding member of the community didn't. We see it all the time. And for all the poor people out there, we're looking at Trump like, we live that, brother. Welcome to the team. And as much as they try to justify that, oh, yeah, no, this was valid. Oh, no. No, I mean, normal people are like, yeah, no, this is crazy.
And I think, I mean, if this is your first time watching the show, you see individuals up here that we give our opinion. We talk about breaking news. We talk about news. We talk about all facets of different things. One of the main things that and Hutch has known this for years, and Jason has probably fell into this and has realized this for the time he's been on the show. We really don't talk about race type stuff on this show. We don't do it because to me, it's a no-win situation when you talk about that stuff. The only thing, like you said, the only thing it's meant to do is to make you pissed off.
Yeah.
That's it.
At somebody.
Right. There's no solutions because nobody's going to be happy with the solutions that come out. So not only are you angry at people of different races, now you're angry at the solutions to try to fix stuff because you're thinking that it's going too far. Some people think it's not going far enough. And I mean, it's, the thing is, leave people alone. Leave them alone. There was an old quote a long time ago when I was in church, and I'm going to change it up a little bit for where we are right now. It takes 12 hours to mind your own business and another 12 hours to leave other people alone. If Americans would just realize that, live your life. have your barbecues, have your groups. And say, I don't care what the Johnsons are doing over there in that yard. I don't care. Now, when it comes to pedophilia and stuff like that, I think we all need to be on the same page.
I agree.
When it comes to hurting little kids, these adults marrying these little kids and stuff like that, I think that there should be something where, yes, I am pro-life, except for when it hurts little kids. When it hurts little kids, I think that you should meet your maker fast, quickly, okay? These kids out here are helpless. They're harmless, and they're helpless.
And they're terrified.
And they're terrified. And they're learning the wrong thing from individuals today that don't have a clue. A lot of people going to school and they're not educated. A lot of people graduating and they ain't educated. Okay. Oh, I spent 12 years for my degree. Well, why are you working at McDonald's then? You've been in McDonald's for what, 17 years, 18 years? You're about to retire. You're about to retire from McDonald's. As a matter of fact, McDonald's do give out certificates like that. You know that, right? It's ridiculous. But, I see. That's why I start watching House Cards again. It's like social media keeps feeding me these things in my feed that I keep seeing. And I'm like,
exactly.
Again? Again? Like, nah,
see, and the thing is, it's organized. That's the thing about it. That's the thing about it. There's some dude at the CIA going, hey, let's promote this dude that's dumb as hell. Let's promote him to Secretary of Defense and send an email to Turning Point USA about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and we say it all the time. The battle in America is the normal citizens versus the elite, the rich and powerful. They always try to frame it up as right versus left, black versus white, men versus women, all these things to separate us. But I tell you what, the poor black dude in inner city Minneapolis has more in common with the poor white dude in the trailer park and has more in common with me than any of us do with those clowns in D.C. And we can't let them separate us.
And it's easy to do, too. I mean, you know, I worked my whole life and I see somebody that's got a freaking shopping cart with $1,000 worth of stuff in it. It's going to piss me off.
It is going to piss you off.
You know what I mean? So
it's going to make you roll your eyes. It's going to make you say stuff underneath your breath and stuff. You're like, man, I can't believe this.
And the same way with white supremacy things, too. I mean, this is something that we have to take a moment and we have, you know, there's a way to stop it. Don't participate.
Right.
Just don't participate at all. I got to quit retweeting stuff. You know, I mean, but really, it's like we're getting played.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the scariest thing to the ruling class? That we get along.
I know that. You're right. You're right about that. That's the thing. And when they saw people come to Washington, D.C. on January 6th, they almost crapped their pants.
Right.
Because they watched this show. They almost crapped their pants.
Yeah. 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 That's why.
I tell you what, that's why this election year, it's going to be wild because there is a populist movement. MAGA is transcending Republican and Democrat and more normal people are waking up. President Trump's waking them up. You see these last few interviews he's given and then the interviews after the fact, people are like, holy cow, that guy that was just there doing that interview, that wasn't who they've portrayed him to be. You know, he actually wants to make the country great again for average citizens.
Let me, believe me, I wasn't even going here, but I am going to go here. Uh-oh. Somebody told President Trump. And because President Trump didn't say this, he said that he was told. Okay. So somebody within President Trump's camp told him that these shoes identify with black people. And that was going to help him get elected. was the shoes and the indictments and whatnot. The videos that I've seen, and for all the people that have been telling President Trump these things, the videos that I've seen about when black people, when people that look like me on the street are saying why they're going to vote for President Trump, doesn't have nothing to do with the indictments.
I agree with that. That was a fool's move.
Yeah, it doesn't have nothing to do with no tennis shoes either. It's because President Trump put money in their pockets.
Yep.
And they say that to the last man.
Okay. So when so whoever's telling President Trump these things and stuff, they need to be kicked out of his group because that doesn't help. Maybe it does.
No, I think you're right. I think that it's an undeniable fact that black people love tennis shoes. All right, boom. It's true.
White kids too, but yeah.
And they do. They do. And it's an undeniable fact that people that have been mistreated by the Justice Department go for somebody who else is being mistreated by the Justice Department. You don't have to talk about it. It's not a political point. It's some, if it happens, it happens. But there's nothing worse. I'm gonna go there.
I know.
Well, now that you did it, I'm going there. There's nothing dumber than a white dude that's never been around black people telling right. somebody how to do something with black people. All right. There we go. Just that's what I saw in that speech.
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
Yeah. I was saying where I was like, God, dog it. He didn't have to say that. And look, I listened to everything they said and I was like, okay, somebody told him that.
It was so awkward too.
I know. I was like, oh.
You know, that's the thing too with President Trump. Part of why we love him is because he's just him. And whenever you can tell he's taking advice from somebody else, if it's with a hire or something he says, it generally goes wrong. Like, we don't care if Trump says something stupid or off the cuff or whatever. Like, Donald Trump tennis shoes is completely on brand. Like, the guy had wine and, you know, everything's named Trump.
And
Trump
it came at the right time, too. It came when Letitia charged him. He's like, no problem. I'm going to make me some sneakers.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We'll pay that off with money that I don't even have yet.
Right.
But what that did, President Trump saying that or repeating that, Fox News decided, you know what? That's going to give us the green light to say whatever we want to and how we want to say it. Dumb. And what he said, and the video that I'm going to show you, what he said is not what President Trump said. But what he said is going to be added to what President Trump said this. President Trump said that when President Trump didn't say that. You see what I'm saying? This is this guy's interpretation.
I was on social media last night. Very interesting. As you see black support eroding from Joe Biden, this is connecting with black America because they love sneakers. They're into sneakers. They love the, you know, this is a big deal, certainly in the inner city. So when you have Trump roll out his sneaker line, they're like, wait a minute, this is cool. He's reaching them on a level that defies and is above politics. The culture always trumps politics.
Man,
people.
You see what I'm saying?
People embarrass me, man.
I know, no, because
you're going to boil down an electorate to some freaking shoes, dude.
Yeah, I was going to say Trump hit the nail on the head. He's going to go into New York and talk to people. Go in a diner, man, and just chill out, you know?
Man, y'all, I mean, deep, man. Not only did President Trump expose the left, not only did he expose the political establishment, not only did he expose the crazy lawmakers in Washington, D.C., he's exposing some of these
geniuses.
He's exposing some of these identity politics geniuses.
What did that guy say when he was talking about putting Eastman or whatever on the ticket with Nikki Haley? The genius said, this is the first time in American history ever. He forgot about Abraham Lincoln and Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson was a Democrat for a unity ticket.
Yep.
Andrew Johnson was the one that took back the 40 acres and a mule too. They,
I'm not
they,
saying it was right. I'm saying it wasn't
right.
The first
right,
time
right. No. But yeah, I remember that. What was it?
And he got impeached.
He had several issues. He was not the best kid.
Who was the general that took South Carolina?
Sherman.
Yeah.
Atlanta. He took Atlanta.
He took Atlanta.
He burned Atlanta to the ground.
Several cities.
Burned Atlanta to the ground.
Right.
Okay. He was the one that 40 Acres and Mule was part of a special fields order, number 15, a wartime order proclaimed under Sherman.
Shit, I'm out of this conversation. You got me beat by about three levels.
Yep. And this was during the Civil War to allot land to some freed families in plots of land no larger than 40 acres. That was under Sherman, and Johnson said no. Johnson took it back. Andrew Johnson. Yep, sure did. After Abraham Lincoln was killed. Think about that.
Deep state existed back then, too.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah, don't count the fact out that the government killed Lincoln.
Right.
You kidding me? An actor?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Dead two days later.
From a prominent family, too. From a prominent family. Busted his ankle, but he lived for a couple of days until he got... And what do they have to do with the witness that is trying to get away?
They burned the whole barn down.
They burned the whole barn down so that he couldn't talk. Oswald got burned out. About people in Waco got burned out. I mean, whenever the government...
They killed Lee Harvey Oswald quicker than they killed Timothy McVeigh.
Right.
Sure did. Oh, and let's not forget Ruby Ridge. They had to take him out. They had to try to take him out too. So, you know, Nikki Haley. Okay. There's an old song Fran Tarkenton used to sing on Monday Night Football when the game was over. Turn out the lights. Party's over. All good things must come to an end. Nikki, it's not even a plea. It's more common sense than everything. It's time to go.
She's now the no labels candidate.
Are you serious?
I mean, I'm not saying it's official, but that's what she sounds like.
Okay.
Well, the Koch brothers pulled their funding. So
Charles Koch, they keep saying the Koch brothers. Didn't one of them die?
One of them died. Yeah,
Died. Yeah. They'll always be the Koch brothers, though.
Yeah,
or the Koch suckers.
The Koch suckers. I tell you what, though, Nikki ain't dropping out, guys.
I know. I'm watching her, and I know that our side has said that the Democrats are voting for her.
Several tens of thousands did. I think it was 57,000 of them I saw when I went to the individual. That's just in the counties that Nikki Haley won. The three counties of South Carolina that she won. I added them up, but it was like 50,000-60,000 out of 300,000 or whatever. I mean, it wasn't a majority, but it was some.
Did you actually think that she was going to get close to 40%?
No.
I didn't either.
I really thought she'd be 30, 35.
She got in the leftist city counties, you know, Charleston, right. Columbia, you know, none of the rural counties.
I've been saying it for a while, guys, but what you have to realize, the whole play from the establishment is Ron DeSantis takes his hard anti-Trump stance. While Nikki, if it's like a racehorse, she was just drafting behind the other horse. She lets Ron go attack Trump. And then when Ron drops out, her messaging has completely changed. Go watch Nikki from the first two.
She admitted it. Yeah, she admitted it.
Yeah, she admitted it. And then what Ron was supposed to be like a fullback blocking for the running back to peel off the anti-Trump group and then pass it off to Nikki, which he's done. And
I didn't see that. I saw I saw Ron trying to be it. And he got out because he saw the same thing that happened to Nikki. He saw the same thing get ready to happen to him in Florida. And that's something that he didn't want. He didn't want to lose Florida. But I mean, we all saw what he did in New Hampshire. What, he got 4 or 5%. He didn't want that in Florida. And he probably would have came in second. But I always felt if he came in third in Iowa and New Hampshire, he was done. That's what I said at the beginning. When he got out before. He got out before New Hampshire. I don't want to hear nothing about Ron DeSantis in 2028. I'm telling you right now.
You know what I don't want to hear nothing about? The RNC.
No. You can hear something about him today.
I mean, but I'm telling you, they're not the answer.
Nope.
There's a couple things being I didn't think he was coming on. That's what I was getting ready. We'll do that at the bottom, top of the hour. Because I got a couple words to say.
He is ready.
We want to thank everybody that is watching us on Frank Speech. Happy to be here. Happy to be broadcasting on this awesome network, along with Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter X, Pill.net, Getter, and Rumble.
For those of you that consistently have problems with Facebook, try another page or try one of these other platforms.
Right.
Don't devil yourself with the enemy.
Right. That's true. Because I remember when we made the move from YouTube to Rumble a couple of years ago, we kept telling everybody, guess what? We see what they're doing to conservatives on YouTube. So now we're going to Rumble. And everybody's like, that's right. Wayne Hutch, y'all do what you got to do. Go ahead. And we went over there. Y'all stayed on YouTube.
Right. They stayed on Facebook.
In between watching Fox News, you stayed on YouTube.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. This don't make sense.
It's hard to move people. I mean, once and like on the Wayne Dupree podcast show, Facebook page, like there's a great chat and there's a bunch of people in there. In fact, earlier, Debbie Mathis, one of the gals said Debbie's blocked. Drop an email to Wayne and we'll see if there's something we can do to unblock you on our end. You can go into the settings and see if it's
who's blocked.
Debbie Mathis. Charlene, I think, said Debbie Mathis is blocked.
On YouTube?
On
Facebook?
On your Facebook. I'm assuming she watches on the Facebook Wayne Dupree Show page. So there's a way to look to see if somehow she got blocked and you can try to remove it on your end. Okay. I can help you.
Okay.
Or go to a place that doesn't block you.
Or go to a place that does. Rumble ain't blocked nobody.
Right.
Rumble doesn't pay as well as the others, and it doesn't.
One person kept saying, that I was blocking them. I was like, I don't block nobody on Rumble. I haven't even touched it. But you know.
No, the only time anybody gets a block from us is if they are a crypto spammer or.
Or named Carl.
Or over here trying to get on other people's pages.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I want to like you a little bit. My name.
You really post interesting things. Can I?
Yeah. Okay, so coming up right now is a young man who wears beautiful suits. He's an individual that we know and love from the New Federal State of China. There's a video that I pulled down from the New Federal State of China that I want to play before he comes on, and then we're going to have him talk about it and along with other things. But if there's one, I mean, if you have any questions for him, you can leave them in the comment section and we'll try to ask them of him while he's here with us. But I'm talking about Mr. Rory Guo. We'll be right back.
A decades-long real estate boom prompted developers to take on a lot of debt to build homes ahead of demand. Greenland pre-sold units here before they were finished, something replicated all across China. There are an estimated 20 million units of pre-sold but incomplete homes across the country. The huge volume of undelivered apartments has left many Chinese households in limbo. Last July, Greenland defaulted on over $400 million worth of international bonds. Despite counting the Shanghai government as a major shareholder, Greenland hasn't been spared from the turmoil in China's property market. Beijing tried to deflate China's housing bubble by imposing strict debt and cash flow targets on developers. Property giants crumbled, setting off a chain of developer defaults.
This is just another of the residential property developments in Shenyang that have frozen in their tracks. This one behind me, it was started by China Evergrande Group, the country's largest residential property developer and one that was ordered to liquidate in January. China Evergrande's rapid expansion was really emblematic of how quickly and how important the real estate market became for China's broader economy.
Evergrande has left 800,000 pre-sold homes across China unfinished, with little prospect of them being completed. Evergrande's collapse triggered protests by homeowners, furious that units they had started paying mortgages for weren't being finished. And all signs indicate things will only get worse. Sales of newly built homes fell 6% in 2023, returning to levels unseen since 2016. And sales are expected to fall further in 2024 and 2025. Now, many look upon real estate as one of the least reliable investments. And that poses an enormous challenge to China's government.
Welcome, Mr. Roy Grow, my brother, my and what kind of is that?
What kind of shirt is that, Roy?
I know, wait, like, is that a suit jacket?
No, that's a hoodie. This is just a jacket, Buddha collection from last year, but different color.
That's bad.
That's a G hoodie.
That's a fashion hoodie, baby. That's a little gangster hoodie. Listen, Roy, I've seen a lot of documentaries before about unfinished buildings and apartment buildings and stuff, and even cities. There's a city over there that was, it looked like it was built all, I mean, it looked like it was almost done, but nobody was living in it. Well, actually, just a few people that are living in it. But is that the economy thing, or I mean, did they just overreach with that, or how does something like that happen where you can build so much and just walk away from it?
Yeah, I think Chinese real estate, the real estate sector has been the propeller, the generator of China's economy for the last at least 20 years after 2001. Well, the whole industry, I mean, like the GDP, the Chinese economy increased from $1 trillion to $17 trillion, basically 17 times over the past 20 years. And 80% of that is real estate and shadow banking. So you see, real estate sector, along with other industries related to it, right? If you look at like the restaurants, that's related, right? And if you look at the decoration, if you look at furniture, right, all these are related or supported by real estate sector, and the boom is unprecedented. You never see things like this. Just like you said, that the Rotten Tail, the clip you just played, we call it Rotten Tail projects. It tells us like there are 20 million Rotten Tail projects where people buy home pre-sold homes from companies like Evergrande. And it never got finished, right? You just buy the concrete, so you just buy like rotten till buildings. It's never going to be finished, but you've already paid the money. And the next question would be, how could they have like $1 trillion in debt? Evergrande, Sunac, those huge country garden, like we saw several news last week that all these countries defaulted, all these companies defaulted, all these companies owe like $1 trillion. How come? So this like just reminds me of HNA Group, which a company that is essentially owned by the former vice president Wang Qishan, like the and then the head, the CEO, the founder got assassinated, and Miles Guo, the founder of New Federal State of China, first like shared the intelligence that he got assassinated. And right after he shared the intelligence in 2019, I believe, the HNA just filed bankruptcy. H&A Group is also one of the biggest growing, like one of the fastest growing Chinese companies ever. Like it grew from $100 million to $1 trillion in a really fast fashion. I think you've seen a couple of years, in several years. We did the calculation. I think they got like $100 million growth every single day if you look at the timeline. And it just all of a sudden filed bankruptcy. And this is actually a way to steal money from the investors and steal money from the Chinese people. And now they're stealing money, we say, from the American investors. Because remember, we still have $7 trillion invested in communist China. And then they just launder all the money to their personal bank accounts. And then they file bankruptcy, right? And then your money is gone. And this is in Xi Jinping's interest, because triggering a financial crisis globally is in their interest to further their aggression, right? To seize the opportunity, like to take advantage of the weakness of the West, of the United States. And then they can take over power, they can take control of Asia, and then they can invade Taiwan.
And if you look at, Roy, preconditions for aggression when it comes to military operations like Taiwan, countries and entities, the scope of the loss in China, I mean, you look at those people that were protesting, they got an internal problem with all these people that got ripped off. So when countries are in that situation, a lot of time they take everybody's mind off it by starting military aggression. So I want to go back to something that your organization, the whistleblowers at the NFSC, brought up 2 years ago in 2022. Citizens of the NFSC exposed to the world the top military intelligence regarding the decades-long efforts of the Air Force wing of the PLA to construct key military facilities underground in preparation for the invasion of Taiwan. And what a lot of people, I mean, this is like underground command and control systems, integrated Air Force commanding platforms, optical cable construction projects. And they put these places adjacent to highly populated cities. So the propaganda war, if anybody tries to take them out, is going to be the same genocide you're hearing about in Gaza. Can you remind people about that reporting back in 2022, Roy?
Well, thank you, Hutch, for this question. I think this is very, very important. 2 years ago, actually, we've been exposing this all the time. Like in 2017 and 2019, Miles has been giving all these warnings, all these signals of the attack against Taiwan and also Hong Kong in 2019. And we have CCP whistleblowers, we have insiders inside the Chinese Communist Party in China who risk their lives and their family members' lives to deliver all these receipts. We're talking
classified documents.
Yes. It's top secret classified documents. We're talking about the documents of, command center, construction maps, like you said, like all these, all the plans, all the, even the financial, approval, a request approval of funds for those projects, and also the maps, the construction maps. If you look at the it's like a Google map, but they're like translated items on there, and then they're the names of the places, of the locations. If you look at the distances between the civilian use of facilities and those secret command centers and bases and underground facilities, those are very, very close. Just like what you said, like just like how Hamas been building their command center under hospitals, it's the same tactics. I think the terrorist groups have been learning from the CCP how to kidnap those civilians and then gain a strategic advantage over their rivals. And when wartime come, for example, if CCP launch attack or rocket forces against the US and Taiwan in the near future. Like, if you fight back, you're gonna kill, a lot of citizens. So, like, if you look at Wuhan, one of the maps I still remember, like they built a command center like just 1 kilometers away from one of the most famous plaza in biggest plaza in Wuhan. And then if you attack those places, so like a million people, Wuhan has like tens millions of people in that city alone. And if you attack those facilities, you're gonna kill a lot of people. Right, you can destroy the city, exactly. And that will make you. That makes it's a kind of like a deterrence against the United States. And then that's the psychology. It's been, this is kind of the psychology they have all the time. They do not represent the people. They do not protect the people. They use people as a shield to protect themselves. That's why they have they've built so many bunkers. Like in Zhongnanhai, the offices, the place where the top officials been working in, those their underground train stations, their underground trains, their underground military bases and command centers and tunnels below there to protect the bunkers, to protect themselves.
You know, it's interesting, Roy, that as we talk about Taiwan, the House Intelligence Committee, specializing in China, had an interesting plot twist where it turns out Elon Musk wasn't giving access to Starlink for the soldiers in Taiwan, but they are in Ukraine, and I'm assuming that's somehow tied to Xi Jinping and what's going on there. But can you enlighten myself and our audience, kind of what's this developing situation?
Yeah, I think we saw from the news, Mike Gallagher, the chairman of the Select Committee on the CCP, have demanded that Elon Musk should at least give the access to the U.S. troops of Starlink. This is, they have a military grade. Services, internet services, and Elon Musk, Mr. Elon Musk, and his whole empire of the tech typhoon. Like he's not doing favor to Taiwan or any, I think, CCP rivals, because it's very simple. Elon Musk has been making like statements like Taiwan is part of China, and then we need to educate ourselves, something like that. I think a couple of years back, he's been doing that. He's been saying that publicly. And this is example. This is a perfect example how the business person and entrepreneurs and people who have power could be influenced and compromised by the CCP.
Right.
Well, the major reason why Elon Musk have across all the businesses why he's so successful is because there's only one company that making him the positive cash flow and making him money. That is Tesla. Why? Because he has a mega factory in Shanghai. He can take advantage of the CCP's state policies and the dominant supply chain power in automobile parts. Right, we're still dependent. The U.S. is still felt heavily dependent on Chinese automobile parts supply chain, just like the green energy, solar panels, and for example, pharmaceutical supply chain supplies. Those are all CCP dominant areas. And then it's so easy for CCP to basically blackmail anyone like Elon Musk. When Elon Musk said publicly that he does not need money, he does not accept blackmail with money from Disney or some advertisers. In Twitter, but he would never say something like that to the CCP.
Right.
The CCP is so powerful. CCP has control over those people who have been doing businesses with China for years, and CCP has the control of the supply chain in those industries. So and now you see, like, when the war when the conflict comes, when like the tension rises, well, it's very easy. It's kind of like an easy and obvious decision for those people, for those globalists, to make their own decision on these issues. And this is quite dangerous. And I think the Congress is making a right move. I think the pressure needs to be there, and there should be more dialogue. There should be more cooperation and technical and military sharing with Taiwan to safeguard the area.
Yeah, you know what? And on two things, I saw yesterday a story in Wall Street Journal that for as smart as Elon is, he should have seen that the deal that he had made with the CCP was going to one day come back to bite him in the tail, especially with what they were doing, what they've done with that car. I don't even BFD. Whatever it's called, that car that has become the number one global sales for electronic cars, the one that Elon was laughing about 10 years ago, has now surpassed him. In the way of Taiwan, I saw a news report that says that that the CCP is angry that the United States just passed $75 million, $80 million to help them in their defense. And the CCP is like, ramifications could be coming from that because that goes against the one China policy, I think that is. Or am I right about that? The one nation policy? Or
yes.
Yeah.
Well, this policy or this so-called agreement called 1992 consensus or something, like which emphasized the one China policy, the reunification, right, and basically downplay the importance, diplomatic importance of Taiwan, its autonomy. I mean, those are the typical, you know, ways that expression whenever like Taiwan is communicating with the U.S. and the West and with the sharing of technology and weapons and military forces, and this also show, of course, the its aggressiveness against Taiwan, like in especially like prior to and after the presidential election in Taiwan, and also, if you see, like, the CCP has been sending clusters of balloons to Taiwan before they send one to the United States. Yeah. And I think the political signal is very important here because, like, what we do, what we say, and how after they say, oh, we're going to retaliate. Like, you remember, like, last year, even like shooting down the balloons, the CCP has been complaining and say they're going to retaliate. You can see how ridiculous it is. Like they send a new like a weapon targeting the U.S. citizens upon U.S. soil and shooting it down. Like they say they're gonna retaliate. They say it's a weather balloon. They say like it came here by accident. It came to our nuclear plants by accident, and then you shouldn't shoot it down. And then now you see like the bureaucracy and appeasement policy still there, yep, right? Now, like they're not even talking that much about it compared to last time on media, social media, like the military Pentagon and the authorities, not even the intelligence agencies, not even like reacting too much. And this is very dangerous. We know the CCP has 200 plus tiers of balloons for military use. They have over 1,000 launch bases in China that have been put in use, and they have multiple bases also outside of China in Saudi Arabia. They have the largest amount of launch bases in Saudi Arabia and the Bahamas and Venezuela and Cuba and so on. And those balloons are very dangerous. They can carry bombs, they can carry chemical and biological weapons, and they can come in clusters controlled by AI and computers, and they can be part of the coordinated force in attacks with other weapons. Like MN submarines, we just saw the MN submarines just appeared in Red Sea, trying to attack U.S. fleets, and also the MN submarines, something we've never seen before. I believe soon we'll see it in Taiwan Strait and other places near U.S. ports and U.S. military bases. These are the things we've been warning, like a long time ago, right? Like for almost a year. After last time, like after last balloon incident, and now we see clusters of balloons coming over to Taiwan, and also came to United States. Basically, CCP is trying to play a psychological and information warfare against us again to normalize these kind of acts, right? When we don't feel anything, we're numb about it. That's when they will really launch attacks against us. And then until that time, we wouldn't even have time to react. We wouldn't even have the ability to retaliate.
I'll tell you the thing I see about that, and Roy, I'm a retired logistician, and anybody who deals with war knows that wars are won and lost by logistics. The Chinese Communist Party is spending $50,000 on a balloon, and the United States government spending $50 billion on a jet. I'll tell you who's going to win that. You know, so we got to smarten up, and they've really done well in the CCP and the PLA when it comes to cost effectiveness. I mean, it just it is what it is. But I want to go back to something that you brought to us last week. Might have been 2 weeks ago, but I think it was last week. The Chinese cybersecurity firm iSun was hacked, and a whole lot of inner workings and secrets about the operations of these big hacking cybersecurity forces have been revealed. Can you talk a little bit of what have we learned from your whistleblowers about these leaks?
Yeah, just a couple of days ago, I think they someone put the data on GitHub for all these released data, and then they got removed. But we basically learned that those CCP hackers been hacking British and Indian governments, like the military and civilian facilities, and government agencies like China's neighbors, like Cambodia, Mongolia, Vietnam. So basically you can see the scale of the campaign of the hacking from this one incident, from this one company, right? We knew like China's been, CCP's been launching attacks and been civilian, like been using hacking, all the tactics against government officials. They even put, you know, surveillance devices or hearing devices in teapots and give them as a gift to British officials, right? Yeah. Just imagine like one of your friends came over to your home and I give you a gift, and then later you found that there's spyware or hearing devices hidden in there. So how do you feel about it? And not enough people talking about this, but this is very, very dangerous. This reminds me of 2 years ago, I think, there's another incident, there's another data leak from Shanghai police database. And there's 1 billion data points being posted on dark web. And this just basically scared the CCP, so that to the point that CCP hacked power plants and internet infrastructures systems to get rid of all the information. Because in that data leak, from many levels, from many dimensions, you can analyze one fact, one very important fact, that that China doesn't have 1.4 billion people. It has less than a billion people, because they have all these information, for example, the basic, you know, population data and their identities and whatsoever, their behaviors, all these hotel records, entries, something like that. And you can any like basic, you know, data analysis will give you a conclusion that they do not have 1.4 billion people. And then the reason why they're so scared is because if this made public, well, it will influence the Chinese financial markets, influence the other, how other people, how other governments, how other organizations analyze, like the in general, how CCP's economy will be. So it will be discredited, and the stock market will be plummet. So that's why they're so scared. And they basically hacked power plants to stop this, to stop the circulation. And I think they also did a lot of work on dark web. So, but you can see like their capability and their skill and their determination to hack critical infrastructure, just like a month ago when Christopher Wray was testifying in front of Congress. The willingness and the capability CCP has are absolutely dangerous, and they're willing to do this. They've already done this kind of job, and this continue doing this as we speak, hacking our critical infrastructures, putting like critical, you know, components in the supply chain in our phones. We talk about the backdoors in Chinese made iPhones. The spyware, the amount of spyware they put in those devices, in TikTok. Once you install those kind of TikTok and Temu and WeChat, basically your phone is gone, it's compromised. And the fact that they've been hacking, also like hacking us, they've been hacking us. If you look at Miles has to change his phone like every week or every other week, because like cannot reboot because the CCP is constantly hacking him. Wherever he go, the elevator would just stop, right? The internet will be gone. in United States, we're talking about United States. So from all these incidents, all these examples, you know, like the capability CCP has and how dangerous it is.
You know, Roy, you bring up Miles, and we've got a large new audience, especially on Frank's Speech. We're streaming on there now. Can you give everybody an update where things are at with Miles Goh, kind of how he's doing and where his, because his next court date's coming up here pretty quick, so.
Yeah, the trial is going to come on May 20th, which is about like less than three months away. And Miles, first of all, Miles Guo is the founder of New Federal Civic China. He co-founded NFSC in 2020 with Steve Bannon, but he started Whistleblowers Movement in 2017. It's been amazing journey following him. We have million supporters globally and more supporters inside China. Right, that's why it like makes us so valuable. We have so many people risking their lives to bring intelligence and information outside China, so that we can have the confidence to do shows and bring the intelligence to you. And Miles was arrested last year, March 15th.
Yep.
Without bail, he's been staying in MDC. The condition there, everybody knows it. Just Google or search on YouTube, like MDC, the Metropolitan Detention Center. The condition there is bad. This is exactly what CCP hoped for. He cannot continue to blow the whistle, continue to take down the CCP leading the movement at the moment. But we're determined. We're united. And just a couple of days ago, I think 5 days ago, on February 21st, the judge ruled that the government should release all the records that CCP been targeting, been hacking Miles Guo's devices, and also his family members, and also the records of a fox hunt operation against Miles, and also the NFSC, and also the assessment of NFSC, the intelligence assessment of NFSC records. Wow. Also needs to be released. So this is, I think this is a positive turn of the tide. This is a positive turn for Miles' case. I think the judge has done fantastic work studying NFSC, learning what we have done, we've been doing, our intelligence. And also I think this is an act of legal recognition of the status of NFSC.
Right? And they're starting to smell November too.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So, and I think they've been doing a great job. I think I really want to show our appreciation towards the judge and the team have been working for Miles' case and also Miles' legal team. I think this is I cannot say we have won this. We still there's a lot of challenges ahead of our time, but this is a good thing. And also this reminds me of you know, what happened to Miles with the previous cases, right? Because remember, like the judge has ruled the government should release, at least in New York, I believe, not the whole DOJ, but at least in New York, the government should release all the records how Miles were targeted by the CCP. And also there are a lot of previous, you know, public cases. You remember Press Michelle found guilty in the scheme to help China influence CCP's influence of the U.S. government, and Press right. Michelle was found guilty in 2023 April, just 1 month after they arrested Miles. And remember, like on March 16th, just 1 day after the FBI raided Miles' home and arrested him, the government I think, or the prosecutor issued a motion saying that Miles shouldn't be testifying in press case because he's arrested, because he has a fraud case and he was arrested without bail, and then so that he should not appear in court. And then a month after that, Press Michelle found guilty just directly because of the influence of the CCP. This is, I think, the part of the influence campaign. The corrupting influence CCP has. And also, if you look at the former Justice Department employee, also pled guilty in 2018. George Higginbotham taking tens of millions of dollars and try to hide and deceive U.S. banks about the millions of dollars in foreign lobbying, the illegal foreign lobbying. And remember that time in 2017 and before, like he was a Justice Department employee, right? And also if you look at the Hawaii businesswoman pled guilty in 2020, Nikum Davis, she was sentenced in jail for 30 days, also related to the illegal lobbying campaign remove Miles and extradite him, back to China. That's the goal of the lobbying. And she found guilty as well in 2020. So these are all public records. These are all the records really already done. These are the people who were convicted and pled guilty. And all these records gonna be made public by the judge by this case. And I think this is gonna be a huge thing for us. It's gonna be huge. It's gonna be shocking. What I mentioned is just a very small fraction of it, but the whole thing, like the campaign's been making, also it reminds me of the 1 month after Miles' case, Miles' arrest. There's another case in Eastern District of New York, Eastern District of New York, that there's an indictment against 40 CCP spies, right? The 9/12 task force. They directly report back to the PLA, the PRC, police, and they have this whole task force just against Chinese dissidents. And there, if you look at the indictment, the victim number one, the target number one is Miles Guo. So all the information going to be made public, and the American, at the end of the day, the American people will know what happened to Miles. We'll know who Miles Guo is, and we'll know what NFSC is. And I think at the end, we will win this case. Miles will be exonerated, will be proven innocent. And also, NFSC will be proven the number one target, the CCP enemy number one. And
are you ready? Are you ready for that?
Yeah, I think we're ready. We're ready to take down the CCP. After CCP is gone, we're going to lead China to its own democracy and rule of law. And we're going to play the most significant role in this. So, yeah.
There we go. Well, Mr. Rory Guo, and that awesome hoodie that we can't stop looking at while you're talking. That's a bad hoodie. I want to thank you for joining us. I'm gonna give you the final thoughts before you go. Let our audience know where to find you and also support the NFSC.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. Thanks to all the audiences and patriots, American patriots on this platform. And I just want to add one piece of information before I go about the case. There will be more than 200 media outlets.
Wow.
Live broadcast or a reporting Miles trial in May 20th.
Nice.
And I think that it's going to be one of the biggest case in United States history. And we looking forward to that. And we believe we're winning, and we're united and determined to win this and to work to fight together back to back with all the American patriots to win this country back. We must stop the CCP's infiltration of this country. The Miles Guo and NFS is one of the biggest and the best example of CCP's infiltration and targeting and all the things they've done to undermine United States. People can follow us at NFSC Speaks on Twitter and Getter, and go to nfscofficial.com, especially for the top secret documents leaked under military and unrestricted warfare section on nfscofficial.com. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Roy.
If there's one thing that I'm hoping is that we get daily updates while the trial is going on, so that we can keep our audience abreast of what's going. You know, we have Roy in one of those suits and whatnot, but with a mic outside the courthouse, letting us know what's
happening. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, we definitely got to do that.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I want. That's what I want to see. Whatever you need from us, just let us know. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ray.
There are thousands of choices when it comes to choosing good coffee beans. But if you make the wrong choice, your coffee is doomed and your money wasted. Split Rock Coffee's coffee supplier source from sustainable farmers around the world. Our coffee beans are carefully selected from only the finest growers in South America, Central America, Indonesia, and Africa to create the perfect balance of flavors in your cup. Our master roaster has over 25 years of experience in the coffee industry and roasts Split Rock coffee locally for maximum freshness. We provide consumers with a choice of different strengths, taste and aromas, all wrapped up in a quick, convenient, and mess-free way to make a great-tasting cup of coffee. All of our coffee is fair trade and our packaging is eco-friendly, bringing the high-quality coffee, which usually found only in coffee houses, to offices and retail customers. New owners Paul Reese and Ron Buster are taking that idea and expanding on it to provide the same great-tasting coffee to everyone, delivering coffee to your door, at your workplace, and in the hotels and suites where you stay for business or for fun. We are happy to talk with you about our coffee selection to determine the best option for you or your workplace. We offer four different roasts in a variety of sizes to meet the needs of every coffee drinker. You can visit our website at www.splittruckcoffee.com or drop us a line, 612-230-3560. Our shop is located at 1521 94th Lane, Suite A, Blaine, Minnesota 55449. Split Rock Coffee's customer service is top-notch, and our goal is to impress you, from the flavor and richness of our coffee, to the genuine care you receive when you place an order.
But the more this government does, the worse it is for the American people. We shouldn't be joining hands with Democrats just to show we can govern or we can get things done, no matter how harmful to the American people.
Even if that leads to a partial government shutdown.
Well, the government shutdown is not ideal, but it's not the worst thing. It would be worse to exacerbate the problem, to further increase our debt and our spending, to make our fiscal situation, which is unprecedented as it is, as you know, to continue to fund a government that's facilitating the border invasion. Why would we give Biden and Mayorkas billions and billions of dollars to keep doing this to the American people? The only leverage we have when we have one house of one branch is to be willing to say no, to be willing to.
You're like me, you get tired of hearing that stuff. I know.
There's
going to be a CR and Johnson's going to sign it. And the rest of this is, there's Fox News. And, oh, but what if it shuts down the government?
Oh my God. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's been like that for.
They ought to just change the words to what they're really saying. Hey, look, these people are stupid, man. They're going to go along with this. Let's just pretend like there's two parties. And you know, it's not working anymore.
That's all.
It's still working.
Well, can I give one piece of positive news if it is a continuing resolution? In the last agreement, Massey buried an amendment in there that said if they do a CR, it automatically triggers a 1% cut in discretionary spending. I mean, that's like spitting in the wind, but it's still a small win. But the CR is coming. Wayne's unimpressed with the 1% cut.
I am. And, I mean,
I'm just reporting the news.
And believe me, thank you. Thank you so much for putting that out there. But 1% don't even buy a now later these days.
We need a symbolic move. Something like, that's going to show people that this has got to stop. Because right now, people like me are saying, Speaker Johnson, who cares, man? He's the same as McCarthy.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
I looked at that. I was like, kind of bull crap is this? You know what I'm saying?
Send somebody out there that nobody knows in a plaid, green plaid shirt to say it. How about we have a news conference? You know, how about some hunger strikes or something? How about punching somebody in the mouth on the floor of Congress? How about that? You know, it's, we got to start being serious. You know, it's like this whole Ronna McDaniel thing. You know, who cares about the RNC, folks? You know what the RNC is? The RNC is Nikki Haley. That's what the RNC is. The RNC, these people, rich people started the RNC. Criminals started the DNC and stole their way to being rich. But the people at the in the RNC don't have the same thing in mind as you do. They're out there talking about ballot harvesting. You know why? Because to ballot harvest, you got to hire people and you got to pay them to do it, to go out there. They're setting up shop in the Trump campaign with ballot harvest. You can't ballot harvest if you have the wrong list. The RNC does not have the voter registration list. This election is going to be determined in 15 counties in 5 swing states. And the Democrats own all 15. And the only place that they ever try to do anything about it, it's just like I said, you got to go to the count room. They sent people that are called the Patriot Street Fighters in Wisconsin. And they went in and they freaking got the rolls the Democrats have and they geotagged it. And they looked at hundreds of thousands of votes are from addresses that don't have a bedroom. So they came up to the voting registrars, and they said, look, you're sending these ballots, these mail-in ballots to these warehouses, these shopping malls, and this. If one single ballot gets delivered to any of these buildings, or if any of these buildings are listed as an address, we're coming after you criminally. And all of a sudden, voters' rolls started to clean up. You got to go after these people in their face, not online.
Right. Well, and that's where we need, we actually need leaders who have positions of power in the Republican Party to do something about it. I saw, I think the Missouri Attorney General, I might have the state wrong, is actually suing organizations that are doing racist things with affirmative action this weekend. He's like, they were giving people different access based on their ethnicity. And he's like, that's against the law. And he's suing like 3 or 4 different organizations. But every DA, if you're in a red state and they are not going after the Democrats in your area, they're doing it wrong. Because any of these people screaming about it, you know, those are the people we elect to do something. And what the hell is Wayne doing? Did he break his desk?
I speak softly. But I carry a big stick.
Looks like a piece of your
I said. I said this in 2020. They should have went after the individuals at the county level that got caught with fake votes, and they should have put them in prison for 5 years.
Yep.
This should dry right up. Yeah. But no, the RNC is worried about all 50 states and getting out the vote. Man, it's too freaking late for the RNC.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
it's Plan B time. Forget those rich guys.
Look. Sometimes you got to cut your losses and start again.
Damn right.
You can't. And I know there's some people out there right now. No, we just need to take RNC over and fix things.
Broken.
Donald Trump.
Irrelevant.
For everything that he tried to do to the administration. He tried to go in there in 2016. What was left over, he couldn't get all of it. He couldn't. Now, I'm not saying what he should do in 2024 is just get rid of the whole entire government. I'm not saying that. But for the RNC, either you shut it down and you start anew, or you just start something on a third party and go with that and make the RNC non-existent.
Or target it. Target 15 county organizations, 15. That's all you need. And go in there. That's where the votes are being stolen. I saw it happen right in front of me here. If they put paper up over the freaking windows, there's a problem, Houston. You know, and people can go to jail for
that's
that.
That's in the cities, though. I'm talking
that's where these counties are.
Right.
Well, okay. Here's the other problem, though, guys. The RNC, the brand name, the RNC, that is a vehicle that has special legal standing in all 50 states.
That's true.
I mean, it's kind of like the brand name Sears. Like
right.
Sears owns Craftsman. Sears sold Craftsman to Lowe's.
And Sears is out of business.
And Sears is out of business. But what I'm saying is the RNC, we have to take over the RNC because the RNC has all this legal stuff already set up in all the states and
it's a
run. So we have to acquire it in a hostile takeover.
Or replace it.
Right.
But that's ineffective, Hutch, is what
I'm saying. It's too late for him now anyway. Right. Anything you're talking about the corporation called the RNC being taken over is for freaking 10 years.
Right.
It's not for right now. Right now, we need to win an election.
Right. But what I'm saying is for the RNC, like, they get to host debate. There are certain legal things they get to do as the official wing of the Republican Party. If you follow libertarians or Green parties and you see how they have to get ballot access and all this stuff, like, there's a huge back end they have to set up. And that's it's not as easy. Now, we can donate to Trump directly, which is what we'll encourage people to do. But it would take about a decade to set up an alternative to the RNC other than just the money donation part to the campaigns, because there's a bunch of different things the RNC does.
Let me tell you the second part of the Koch brothers getting out behind of Nikki Haley. They're retreating to the Senate and the House.
Right.
That's where they're going. They're not going away. Nope. They're going to go in there and they're going to try to get RNC Republicans elected in the Senate and the House so they can win by default.
They did say but in going back to the RNC, the reason why that they are in all 50 states and whatnot, and they are sunk in there like Alabama, because they are a political party. They are a legit club with those type of rules. So to even think about going in there and overtaking them is, if you do it, they don't want what we want. I mean, it's going to take a whole lot longer than just creating something from anew and starving a beast until it doesn't exist anymore. That's why I said, with everybody that's out there right now, and sometimes y'all say this, is that they're more MAGA than it is Republican. Okay, well, if it is, then what you do there, you create yourself a MAGA party. And I know some people out there, well, yeah. Yeah, third party, fine. But sooner or later, you got to start from somewhere. The Republican Party wasn't a major party when it first started. It became one over a long period of time because people got tired of the Democrat Party. And all the other ones were going by the wayside. You needed something that was going to be strong. And at the time, Republican Party was strong. But now it's gotten corrupt and its usefulness has died off because they don't represent the people that they intend, that it was created to protect or defend or watch over. So now you need another one to starve that one out. Yeah, it might take 10 years. It might take 15 years. Actually, well, I mean, I don't think it's going to be overnight. But if you get enough people and the right people in charge of it, it might be a little bit faster than what you think.
You got the perfect situation, the border. That's a Democrat, Republican, that's an everybody issue.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you got to galvanize people around the RNC. Here's my problem. They're the enemy. They're out there. They're trying to beat MAGA by having these fake debates. Look how much time we wasted on those debates. Every single person in that RNC knew that wasn't going to do anything.
All I'm saying, I hate the RNC.
I'm not going against you, man. I'm just saying,
I think the RNC needs to go away, but the reality is we need to take over the RNC in the short term. And if we hope to win.
In the short term, maybe, but I disagree with that. I think that we should start a new party.
But if you do, the RNC's tentacles are so deep.
Right.
That
we'll need to start a third party. I'm just saying that. I mean, look at the Libertarian Party. Look at the Green Party.
That's this many people.
Right. But what I my first political experience was Ross Perot, who was attempting to do exactly what we're talking about. And it failed.
And why did it fail? Because of the RNC.
Well, right. And they went after Ross Perot.
It was because of the RNC and George H.W. Bush, the CIA director.
Right.
Herbert Walker, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he was targeted to beat. I'm just saying there's a lot of logistics on the back end that the RNC owns. That's right. Why the RNC is an organization. If there's a way to acquire it, gut everybody out, fire them all, and start over, that would be the way to do it.
It's a private business, though.
Yeah.
But you could go in and fire everybody, is what I'm saying.
And on top of that, when you look at these machines and everything like that, when you look at all all of these approvals to use whatever machines and stuff, that comes from the party,
right?
That comes from the RNC and the DNC, though. The state parties, the state party votes on those things. I mean, the federal government doesn't have anything to do with putting those machines in the schools and stuff. That's the state party putting those things.
That's the county.
I mean,
it's going to be very similar to when Trump goes into the White House in 2025. He needs to fire all of them.
Yeah.
And he needs to start over, and he needs to fish out the people that ruined his administration last time and not let the snakes in. That's the same move that we almost need to do with the RNC in a short term. Long term, make third party, whatever we want to do with it. But
a lot of these people are just sitting there too. For instance, my county GOP, right? Our county executive is a Democrat, and she just announced that she's putting all these drop boxes out for ballot harp, all these drop boxes. And ahead of the PA of the my county's GOP got online and sent me an email and said, "Oh man." That's what he did. He did nothing. Zero.
Yeah. I thought I saw a report where Pennsylvania said that they were going purple.
That's what they call it. Yeah, I guess.
Michigan. It's just the expansion of the population in the Democrat areas. I mean, Pennsylvania is the same as Minnesota, I think, Hutch. Big population centers are super blue.
Two of
everywhere
them.
Else is super red.
Yeah, you got Pittsburgh on the west, you got Philadelphia on the east, and you got Alabama in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how it is in Minnesota.
Thank you, James Carville. Called that out back in the 90s.
Flyover country.
Yeah, James Carville is right. He sure did, didn't he? We're going to be in charge for the next 40 years. That's what he said. We're going to be in charge for the next 40 years. Didn't even last four, I don't think. Or eight. Didn't even last eight. They got in trouble. Yeah. Michigan, they said that was also turning purple, too. We'll talk about Michigan more. I think Michigan has a vote tomorrow.
Did they?
Michigan. I think Michigan has a vote tomorrow, and I think the governor said Biden is going to have a hard time tomorrow. There's nothing really that she could do.
Biden only 98%.
Well, you know, what's her name?
Whitmer.
No.
Marianne Williams.
No, the Palestinian.
Tlaib.
Oh, Tlaib.
Tlaib was telling people from Dearborn and other places, vote for none of the above or whatnot. So, but we'll be talking about that and much more here on the Wayne Dupree Show. Make sure you tune in. Watch us on Frank Speech. Watch us. And don't forget, you can always call 1-800-895-5725. I'll play this tomorrow. I'll play it tomorrow. And don't forget to go to mypillow.com /Wayne. Use our code Wayne and help support and also defend Mike Lindell and everything needs going. I really wish he would become RNC chairman.
Now that would be good.
Yeah.
That'll never happen.
Yeah, I know. Because that would be good. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, he'd go in and just fire everybody.
It's all about the money, man.
It's all about the winners of the RNC are the florists.
Well, and that's what people got to realize about Mike's company. They love him and they support him and he loves them back. And if you ever hear the stories of what he does, it's incredible. I got to grab a call here.
Drug deal. You got any last thoughts real quick before you go?
We're going to see you guys tomorrow.
That's last. Yeah, right. Got him. Last thought from me.
Plumber called back. You know, even after Nikki Haley talked all kinds of smack and everybody else talked all kinds of smack, Breaking news, the Ukrainian intelligence chief admits that the Russian dissident Alexei Navalny died from a blood clot. He wasn't killed. Imagine that. Ukraine's intelligence chief.
Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why I didn't even jump on all that mess. I was like, I mean, people just can't die over there.
Right.
People can't just die anymore. It has to, you know, whatever. Ukraine, huh? Is he still alive?
No, he died from a blood clot.
No. I'm talking about the Ukraine person.
That's so far.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.